Good morning. My name is Chloe, and I'm going to be leading us in the Bible reading today. So get your Bibles out and let's follow along. We'll be reading Luke chapter 6, verse 43 to 49. I'll be reading from the Christian Standard Bible. If you want to use the QR codes, the link's straight there to follow along online. I'll give you a minute to get it out. Alright, from Luke chapter 6, verse 43 and onwards. A good tree doesn't produce bad fruit. On the other hand, a bad tree doesn't produce good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. Figs aren't gathered from thorn bushes, or grapes picked from bramble bush. A good person produces good out of the good stored up in his heart. An evil person produces evil out of the evil stored up in his heart, for his mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things I say? I will show you what someone is like who comes to me, hears my words, and acts on them. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. When the flood came, the river crashed against that house and couldn't shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears and does not act is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The river crashed against it and immediately it collapsed. The destruction of that house was great.
Well, good morning, every person. Great to see you all here. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. It is a treasure and it's valuable. And Father, we ask that you'd help us this morning as we look at it and think about it, that you would help us to understand it, but that we would be more than that. We wouldn't just be hearers of your word, but that you would help us to be doers. And Father, we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, don't you hate it when people say they're going to do something, but then they don't actually do it? I'm sure you've had this happen to you before. You know, you're going to buy a Christmas present online and they absolutely promise that it will arrive well in time for you to wrap it. And you're checking and you're tracking it and you're tracking it, and it ends up it's in some transfer facility over in Johannesburg and there's no way it's coming in time for Christmas, even though they promised it would arrive. Maybe you're a kid and you said, hey Dad, would you come out and kick a footy with me? And he said, sure, I'll be out there soon. And so you went outside and you had your ball and you stood there and then no one came and you went back inside, back into your room, and you never bothered again. Maybe you've taken your laptop or your iPad to get it fixed, some drama, and they were like, yep, it'll be back within the week, and it's 3 weeks later and still nothing. Maybe you connected with a friend and they said, hey, let's hang out, let's kind of catch up. And so you went home and you cleared your calendar and you sat next to the phone and it never rang. And don't you hate it when people don't just say something and then not do it, but don't you hate it when people don't even listen to you at all? You know, you're at home and you're trying to tell your husband or your wife something that's really important and they're nodding and they're making listening noises, but you can tell they are not listening at all and it's just going straight in and straight out. Or you know there's something going on for you at school and you try and talk about it with your parents, you try and talk about it with a teacher, someone, but they're distracted, they're thinking about something else, they're not listening, and you just give up. Sometimes I wonder what God feels when people don't listen to him. Sometimes I wonder what God feels like when people say that they're following him, but they really don't do it. And sometimes I wonder how God feels when people just pretend. Because this week, we're coming to the end of Jesus' sermon here in Luke chapter 6. And Jesus has taught us all kinds of things. We heard some last week, we heard some last year. All kinds of things about what it looks like to be his follower. And a lot of things about his heart for what he wants us to live like in his kingdom. We saw what real success looks like. We saw what real love looks like, not just love for friends and people who love us, but love for enemies. We saw how to be humble and not a hypocrite and not judgy. And the key question this week is, am I going to put into action the things that I've heard? Because this week, Jesus he still has some challenging stuff that he wants to say to us. Because he wants us to know how to tell if other people are pretending. And he wants us to know how to tell if we are pretending. If you were here last week, you'll remember that Jesus was talking about judging others, and John unpacked that for us. And we saw how crazy it would be to walk around with a telegraph pole sticking out of our eye and trying to point out the teeny weeny tiny splinter in someone else's eye. And we saw that first, we need to take out the beam from our own eye before we can then help our friend with the splinter in their eye. Right? Splinters are going to be there. And we need to help each other take them out. But here, in today's passage, Jesus wants to say, there's a difference between being a judgmental, telegraph pole-eyed splinter picker. There's a difference between that and being a wise fruit inspector. Those two things are not the same thing. And he wants to say there's a difference between having splinters in our eyes that we need help to unpick and being someone who is completely growing the wrong fruit. Those two things are not the same. So here we are, Luke chapter 6, if you still have it open on your screen or in your Bible. Luke chapter 6, verse 43. Jesus says, a good tree doesn't produce bad fruit. And on the other hand, a bad tree doesn't produce good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. Verse 44 there, that's the key verse. Each tree is known by its own fruit. I don't know much about trees or gardening or orchards or horticulture or any of that stuff. I know that a tomato is a fruit and I know that a peanut is not a nut. But apart from that, that's pretty much it. If I see a bunch of trees, just kind of, you know, branches and leaves, I don't know if it's an apple tree or if it's an orange tree. I can't just tell by looking at it. But I can tell that it's a tree because I'm real smart. But beyond it being a just generic tree, not sure. How does someone like me work out what kind of tree I'm looking at? The answer is, I wait and I watch to see what kind of fruit grows on the tree. If apples grow on the tree, it's an apple tree. If oranges grow on the tree, it's an orange tree. I can tell what kind of tree it is by what kind of fruit it has, right? We all know how this works. For each tree is known by its fruit. But then in verse 45, Jesus says, a good person produces good out of the good stored up in his heart. An evil person produces evil out of the evil stored up in his heart. He goes a bit further. His point is, the fruit on the outside of the tree tells us what's going on the inside of the tree. that there is orange life flowing through the tree means that it produces oranges on the outside. Because there's orange life on the inside of the tree, on the outside, you know it's not going to produce apples or pears or peaches or plums or anything else. Orange life, orange fruit. And in the same way, Jesus says, the fruit that people show on the outside, the way that they act, the way that they behave, the fruit on the outside comes from what's on the inside. People can only pretend for so long. People can only keep up an act for so long. The mask eventually starts to slip, and what's on the inside eventually comes out. And at the very end of verse 45, Jesus has something very specific in his mind. He has some specific fruit. He says, a good person produces good out of the good stored up in his heart. An evil person produces evil out of the evil stored up in his heart. For his mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. You'll see their fruit in their words. How they speak to people, how they speak about people. For his mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. A person who consistently speaks angry words, those words come from the overflow of an angry heart. Critical words are the overflow of a critical heart. Hurtful words are the overflow of a hurtful heart. Lying words are the overflow of a lying heart. Boastful words are the overflow of a boastful heart. Spiteful words are the overflow of a spiteful heart. You see how it works. And so Jesus says one way to check how your heart is going is to check how your words are going. What do your words tell you about what's happening in your heart? I mean, all of us, from time to time, all of us are not always at our best. And so from time to time, all of us will have angry words spew out of our mouth. All of us, from time to time, will have hurtful words spray out of our mouth. None of us are perfect. All of us have things happening in our hearts. All of us have splinters in our eyes that need to be dealt with. Yes. But Jesus' point is if there is a consistent sludge that comes out of your mouth, then he says you need to check your heart because that's a different thing. But the solution, if you see that there are certain words coming out, certain kinds of words that you don't like, the solution is not to focus on the words. It's not to, because the problem's not up here. The problem's down here. He says, his mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. The work that needs to be done is not up here. It's here. That's where you and God might have some work to do. Because what's on the inside will eventually come out. Sometimes it can take time. Sometimes you won't be able to see it at first. Sometimes you won't be able to tell what kind of fruit is on the tree until you get right up close to it, of course. But eventually, at some point, the fruit will show. People can't pretend forever. What's on the inside will eventually come out. And Jesus is saying to us, being judgmental and being judgy and walking around with a critical spirit that's always analyzing and assessing every little action and word and imperfection in the people around us, that's not how he wants us to live our lives. That's not how he wants us to treat people. And the reason why we saw last week is because that's not the way that God treats you. God doesn't treat you by analyzing every imperfect thing that you do and then treating you bad because of it. But being judgy is not the same thing as being a wise fruit inspector. Jesus says, don't be fooled by people just because they talk the talk. Or don't be fooled just because they're a great preacher. Or don't be fooled just because they're really nice and encouraging. Jesus says, check their fruit. And how do you do that? Simple. Do they treat people like Jesus treats people? Do they genuinely care for people? Do they treat people with mercy, or are they only ever harsh and cruel? Do they truly forgive people? Do they say nice things about people behind their back? Or do they only ever criticize and complain? How do they act? How do they behave when they think no one's watching them? How can you tell if someone's pretending? Jesus says, check their life, check their words, check their fruit. And then in verse 46, he transitions from how to tell if other people are pretending to how to tell if you are actually pretending. Because he's just said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And then he's like, talking about words, talking about speaking, talking about talking, why don't you do the things that I say? Why don't you do the things that I talk about when I talk about them? So verse 46, he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things I say? That's an obvious question, isn't it? But it's quite confronting. Makes total sense though. If someone is your Lord, if someone is your master, if someone is calling the shots, then what that means is you do the things that they tell you to do. Like, it's not like it's complicated. This is not rocket surgery. It's not complicated. If someone is my master and they tell me to do something and I reply, no, I'm going to do something else, well, then they're not my master. I'm the master. I'm the boss. If someone says, here's what you need to do, and I say, no, I'm not going to do that, then I'm the boss. That's obvious. But it's very confronting because we don't always do the things that Jesus says. And then Jesus tells a story. Perhaps you've heard it before. It's pretty straightforward. Verse 47, he says, I'll show you what someone is like who comes to me, hears my words, and acts on them. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when the flood came, the river crashed against that house and couldn't shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears and does not act is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The river crashed against it, and immediately it collapsed, and the destruction of that house was great. Right? You can see the picture. There are these two blokes, and they both want to build a house near the river. Great idea. Prime real estate, water views. First bloke, he digs into the soil until he hits the rock where it's solid, and then that's where he builds his house. Second bloke, he just wants to get started right now, and so he just builds it straight on the dirt. Now, I admit that I know as much about building as I do about gardening. But if you were driving past these two houses, right, on the way home from work, and the like fences were up around them, and you were driving home, and you saw one of the houses going up real quick, the frame's up, they're doing some brickwork around it, while the other builder looks like he hasn't even started yet, nothing's going on over there, you might be tempted to think, man, when I need to build a house, I'm going to go for that guy. The frame's already up, the bricks, this guy knows how to, he's quick. He knows how to build a house, and time is money. I'm going to go with that guy, not Slowpoke over here. Now, let's just pause for a moment, because Jesus wants to point out that there is a huge difference between these two builders. But can we just make sure that we know what the difference is not? The difference is not, first of all, between the houses. They may have used the same architect. They may be like building the identical house. That's not what's different. And second, they both get hit by the exact same flood at the exact same time. It's not like one house was higher up the riverbank than the other. It's not that one was a bit more protected than the other. They both endure the exact same flood. The essential difference between these two blokes is that the first guy dug and built his house on the rock. So that, middle of verse 48, when the flood came and the river crashed against that house and couldn't shake it because it was well built. And it was well built, not because of how he built it, but because of where he built it, on the rock. Whereas the second guy, he just built his house straight on the dirt. So verse 49, the river crashed against it and immediately it collapsed, and the destruction of that house was great. One house survives the flood and the other one doesn't. But until the flood comes through, you couldn't really tell what the difference was. Not from the outside. Until the flood arrived, it looks like both houses are doing just fine. So what is this story supposed to represent? Well, again, before we work out what the two builders are, let's just check again what the difference is not. It's not that one guy goes to church and the other guy doesn't go to church. They might both go to church. It's not that one bloke is a nice guy and the other guy is not a nice guy. They're probably both nice guys. It's not even that one guy hears God's word and the other guy doesn't. They both hear God's word. They both read the same verses. They both hear the same sermon. So what's the difference? Well, verses 47 and 49, Jesus says, I'll show you what someone is like who comes to me, hears my words, and acts on them. And then verse 49, but the one who hears and does not act is like a man who built a house on the ground. They both look the same, but their hearts aren't the same at all. They both hear God's word, but only one of them does it. And this happens all the time, doesn't it? This happens all the time. You know what God's word says on a certain issue or a certain topic, but you just don't want to do it. It's easy to pick the bits of Jesus' teaching that we like or that aren't too hard or that we already agree with or we're already doing them anyway and just go with it and overlook and ignore all the other bits that seem too hard. Jesus is describing here the difference between someone who is a genuine follower of his and a person who's just pretending. All right, just like the second builder, the pretender hears God's word but can't be bothered to do it. And when the storm of God's judgment comes, that house will not stand. As Jesus says, and the destruction of that house was great, total, complete, final. Whereas the one who hears God's word and puts it into practice is a genuine follower of Jesus. And when the flood of God's judgment comes, his house will stand and will never be destroyed. And so you got to work out what kind of house you want to build with your life. You got to work out, are you committed to hearing God's word and doing it, or are you committed to just hearing his word? Those two are not the same. Are you following Jesus from your heart, or are you just following Jesus with your mouth? Maybe you even know people where it seems like they only really follow Jesus with their mouth, but when it comes to actually how they live their life, they don't follow him at all. Maybe you know that you used to be like that. Maybe you even kind of realize that's what you're currently like. Because you know what? The easiest place to pretend is a place like this. You can say all the prayers and sing all the songs, and you can be in a growth group and join the How to Talk About Jesus courses and say that Jesus is doing great things in your life, and you can maybe even join a ministry team and teach others, but it can all just be pretend. You can do Christian things, you know, in your Christian house. You can do Christian things at your Christian school. You can come here and thank the preacher for a great talk and then go home and nothing changes. Right? That's easy to do. Imagine what it would be like if we wrap up in here, we sing our last song, and just as we're about to wrap it all up, Jesus himself walks through the door. And he's just like, hey everyone, just doing a spot check just to see what's happening in here. And, you know, we like boot up the coffee machine, because man, if Jesus is here, we're having coffee after church this week. And you know, we chat with him and everyone... And we're all kind of talking and asking him questions and high five and all that stuff. And while we're all doing that, milling around, Jesus turns around and he looks right at you. Imagine he looks at you and he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do the things that I say? Imagine that. But what Jesus is calling on us to be are followers of him who don't just hear what he says, but put it into practice. This morning, you've heard Jesus' words in Luke chapter 6. If you read these words and then you head out into your life and nothing changes, then you're building your house, you're building your life just on the ground. And one day, it will be destroyed. And if you think that maybe you might have been pretending up until now, then today is the day to turn back to Jesus and to make the choice to be genuine and to build your life, not just on hearing, but on hearing and doing. And then your house will stand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the Lord Jesus, that his words are clear, obvious, and challenging. Father, we do pray for each one of us in this room that you would help us not just to be hearers, but that we would be doers. Help us not to pretend. And Father, we do pray that you would help us to put our trust in Jesus and trust him with our lives from our heart, and that it would come out and we would do the things he's said to us to do. And Father, we pray that in his name. Amen.